So did you catch it? Did you catch the repeated phrase? The same question that we heard last week? Jesus asks Bartimaeus, just as he asked the disciples, "What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do for you?" So last week was the story of the disciples of what not to do. So let's pay attention to the story of the blind Bartimaeus. What to do. It's just like the story of the rich young ruler, where one is trying to figure out, what must I do to be saved? This is an example of correct posturing and correct action. What does our blind Bart do in the moment when he hears Jesus passing by? He cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." People try to silence him, but he cries all the louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Why does Bartimaeus call out? And why does he call out, "Jesus, Son of David"? Now, for us here in this room right now who have heard this story about probably a billion times, we may not catch all that is going on underneath this, underneath the naming, underneath the calling. I don't know if you've caught, as we have actually heard the Gospel of Mark being read all through the summer lectionary, and even through the fall, we've been hearing the Gospel of Mark. And this is not the first time we hear the story of a blind person being healed. In fact, it's back in chapter 8 when we hear about another healing of a blind person by the pool of Bethesda. And Jesus heals him. And in that story, Jesus actually touches him twice. The first time he touches him, Jesus asks him, "What do you see?" And he squints and he says, "I see men, I see people, but they look like trees." So then Jesus touches him again, and then the blind person, it's described that the blind person looks intently and he sees clearly. It is not a coincidence that we find here another story of a blind man being healed. The gospel writer Mark is trying to make a point. One of the major themes that we find in the Gospel of Mark is seeing and perceiving. To see the kingdom of God, great transformation must take place. Or, in the words of Jesus, in the very first chapter of the Gospel of Mark, "The time was fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news." Another notable and interesting phrase from the story of Bartimaeus is right after we hear Jesus will see him, right after we hear that Jesus will see him, Bartimaeus does what? He throws off his cloak, springs up, and comes to Jesus. Now again, if we just hear these words in our own context, we think, okay, I live in Winnipeg. Yeah, it's cold. Of course I have a jacket. Of course I have a cloak. It's cold around here. And if I want to go run somewhere that I'm excited about, I got to take it off because it's really bulky. Right? I'm going to jump up and throw it off. Well, that isn't what's going on here. Have we forgotten that this person is a beggar? That this cloak is probably his only possession? Jericho, I've never been there. I'm told it's not very cold. In fact, it's quite hot. So this cloak that he owns is likely spread out before him as he sits there, calling out, asking for money. And there's probably some coins sitting there. You know those ones that you throw to folks to calm the annoyance and the nuisance? That's the coin that is on this jacket. And Bartimaeus throws off his cloak to meet Jesus. Imagine for a moment with me. If it helps, close your eyes. Jesus, a man who is rumored to be a healer is passing by you right now. You're blind. And you remember the stories that are told by your maimed, broken, and marginalized friends. Jesus heals people. And you wonder, will he heal me? You feel the moment passing by. You feel the crowd pushing past Jesus. So close, but so far away. You have to act fast. If you don't, this moment will pass. You call out, but you're silenced. You get angry. And you call the louder. Then you're comforted and told that Jesus will hear you. And now you have a choice. Do you scramble to pick up the coat that's right down before you with a few measly pieces of coins that you have left? Or do you kick it aside? Jump up in joy and sheer bliss. It sounds kind of like a way to deal with the one thing. I want to lift one more phrase for us to ponder and consider this morning. It's the very last phrase of our gospel reading. And he followed him on the way. What do you hear when you hear that phrase? I want to suggest a few things that we might hear. First, I want to suggest that the story of blind Bartimaeus is already past the climax of this story, this gospel story. Now, for most of us, we understand when we watch a movie that a story arc goes build, 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 climax right at the very end, boom, resolution. I'd like to suggest, when you go home this week to read the Gospel of Mark all in one sitting, that you will discover that the climax of the story is actually right in the middle of Mark. Not at the end of the story. It is when Peter confesses that Jesus is the Christ. And immediately after that, Jesus follows that with a teaching, a new teaching. And the teaching is something like this. The Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected, and after 3 days rise again. It is interesting here that we find blind Bartimaeus calling out Jesus, Son of David, which is, again, code word for messiahship. This is code language that when people hear it, it kind of smells like this is Jesus, the Christ. And ever since that climax, when Peter acknowledges that Jesus is the Christ, Jesus teaches this new thing that he must suffer, be handed over, and die. And there's a slow progression from there. Away to the cross. What's also interesting, we find ourselves in Jericho. And what is Jesus' next stop after this story? It's Jerusalem, which is about 12 miles away and about 4,000 feet of elevation increase. The road for Bartimaeus, as he follows him on the way, is not an easy hike. It's difficult. But he follows him on the way. The last lens that I want you to look through as we hear those words, followed on the way, is the early Christians. One of the names that was given to the early Christians was the way. Can you imagine for a moment with me what it's like when the people who hear these words for the first time find themselves in the story? And they hear, yeah, I want freedom. I want to be healed. That's right, that's what I did. I followed on the way. Now I'd like to confess for a moment. As I've prepared for this homily, I have found myself in multiple different states of emotion. On one hand, when I hear this story, when I read it, I get excited. I even get a little goosebumps, little tingles going, yeah, yeah, I need that. Heal me. Yeah, yeah, I can do that. Yes, I'll follow on the way. Get really kind of that nervous excitement. Yeah, this is good. But I also need to confess that I get really cynical. And when I hear this story, I say, yeah, of course. Of course Bartimaeus threw his cloak aside, threw his one thing aside. He had nothing to lose. He was blind. It was simple for him. It's so much more complicated for me. Faith for him was easy. It's harder for me. And I find myself not entering the story. I want to close. I discovered this week a story that is quite gripping. And I want to close with that. It's a story told by Theophane, a Cistercian monk residing at St. Benedict's Monastery in Snowmass, Colorado. I saw a monk working alone in the vegetable garden. I squatted down beside him and said, "Brother, what is your dream?" He just looked straight at me. What a beautiful face he had. "I would like to be a monk," he answered. "But brother, you are a monk, aren't you?" "I've been here for 25 years, but I still carry a gun." He drew a revolver from a holster under his robe. It looked so strange to see a monk carrying a gun. "And they won't... Are you saying they won't let you become a monk until you give up your gun?" "No, it's not that. Most of them don't even know that I have it. But I know." "Well then, why don't you give it up?" I guess I've had it so long. I've been hurt a lot, and I've hurt a lot of others. I don't think I'd be comfortable without a gun." "But you seem pretty uncomfortable." "Yeah, pretty uncomfortable. I have a dream." "Why don't you give me the gun?" I whispered. I was beginning to tremble. He did. He gave it to me. Tears ran down to the ground off his face, and he embraced me. When are you going to give that gun over? Do you have the presence and love to receive and invite that gun from your neighbor? It's going to be hard. In fact, impossible. Kind of reminds me like trying to squeeze a camel through the eye of a needle. Is freedom from my blindness really possible? Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.